Matthew chapter 21, the first five verses. Read this way. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage, the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks or anyone says anything to you, she'll say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We've looked at this passage of scripture. Actually, we've already looked at it this year. It was on Palm Sunday that I spoke from this message, or this text, a message. It had to do with who is this? People ask, who is this? This morning, I'd like to look at something else in this text with us. I think it's just so interesting that he says, just tell them I need it, and they'll let you have it. Go take the donkey. And it wasn't ask permission beforehand. It was go and take it. And if anyone says anything to you, they will say, just answer them this, the Lord has need of it. And there was no asking. There was as you're walking away and anybody says anything, the Lord has need of it. And they'll let you have it. Now Colleen's very gracious.
Nothing in it.
It's empty. Okay. I think the response would be, well, the Lord can have it, but you give it back. The Lord can have it, but the problem is when it's not just the Lord taking it, it's the disciples. Sometimes giving to the Lord, it's funny, it involves a middleman. Sometimes giving to the Lord, it looks a lot like we give to each other. Because the Lord has need of meeting a need, and he's going to do it through us to others. The guy who gave his donkey had no idea. I can't imagine that he'd have any idea that he's fulfilling scripture. That we read, for this was spoken, or this was done that might fulfill prophecy. How could he have any idea that this was the moment that this prophecy was going to be fulfilled, that Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem as had been prophesied? I mean, this amazing moment. All he did is he was generous. He said, if the Lord has need of it, he can have it. I sure want that to be a testimony in my life. Lord, whatever you need. No questions asked. Whatever you need. God, you can have it. I am only a steward of my time, of my stuff. It's all yours. I don't own any of it. None of it's mine. It's all yours. I want my life to have that kind of attitude. Yours too? Do you agree, Lord? Lord, whatever. Now, it's easier said than done. It's easy to say, oh yes, Lord, everything. Until he says, well, how about this? Well, everything but that. We go on reading. It says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on him, and set him on them. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And that's what we talked about way back in March. So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Many might be familiar with that phrase. That was the greeting of a king. The acknowledgement that King Jesus is riding, the heading might say in your Bible, the triumphal entry. He's riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. And the people thinking that he is going to do what Scripture said, that there would be a prophet like Moses who would arise and come and deliver God's people. And Moses, he saw the people delivered from Egypt oppression, Egypt bondage, So surely a prophet like Moses will come and they'll be delivered out of bondage from this Roman oppression that they were facing. But when Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, he didn't go to the palace. He went to the temple. Because his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And then it's that context that I'd like to look with you for the next few moments, the next few verses. Jesus went into the temple of God. We've already heard about the temple this morning. Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and those and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Now watch this. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When Jesus comes into the temple, he shuts business down. It says there was money changing going on, providing an exchange. The temple tax was half a shekel. Not a common piece of currency, and people would come to the temple and need to pay the tax, and they set up a table, they set up a booth where you could come, and if you had a shekel or denarii or whatever, you could exchange it. And being in the good Jewish culture that they were, you could exchange it for a fee. And there was a price. There was money changing. It wasn't just, you give me a shekel, I'll give you two halves. There was a profit being made and even a gouging taking place. But it was convenient. You're here, we're here. Save you the trouble of going anywhere. Not only was there this exchange or foreign currency exchange, well, there was also people selling doves that those traveling would come to offer and sacrifice rather than bringing their own animal, dragging their animal with them, bringing doves with them. Yeah, one-stop shopping center. All you need to do, come to the temple, we'll provide the doves for you for a fee. But listen, the advantage is you don't have to go anywhere. Here's the dove. We'll just make it so simple. Instead of bringing your offering, buy your offering. And Jesus didn't condemn what they were doing. I'd like to just hear that, see that. He didn't condemn what they were doing. He condemned where they were doing it and how they were doing it. It wasn't that you can't exchange money or you can't buy animals, all of that. It's where they were doing it and how they were doing it. There's a place for the market. And there is a place for foreign exchange. And there's even a place for reasonable profit. That's good. All the business people, there is a place for reasonable profit. It's just this wasn't that place. This was to be a place of prayer. That's what the temple was to be about. A place of prayer where people would come and meet with God and encounter God. It was interesting this morning. I knew I'd be talking about this. I was in my office, and my cell phone went off, and it was somebody responding to an ad I have on Kijiji to buy a car. I had been praying in my office. I'd been thinking about the message. There was something I wanted to just tweak in my notes, so I was doing that, and my phone went off, and there was an ad about selling my car. And I thought, it'll just take a minute. I'll just respond. I don't want to, if you got it on the hook, you don't want to lose them. You know, just that, I'll just respond quickly. I don't know if you've ever been on the internet before. Do you ever get distracted by one thing to another? I'm just going to, it'll just be a minute. Ding, 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 ding. Half an hour later or more. How did this happen? And I thought this morning, my life isn't to be about selling a car. And there's nothing wrong with selling it. It just had everything to do with the place and the time. I thought, when Jesus came into the temple, it wasn't that there was anything wrong with what they were doing, but there sure was a lot wrong with where they were doing it. The king goes to the temple, and this is what he makes room for. He makes room for prayer. And I think about Jesus coming into my life. I remember the day as a teenager where I rededicated my life to the Lord. Just said, Jesus, I want to give you everything. I want to give you my life. I was so excited, and I was just going to be just on fire for the Lord, and everything was going to be about Jesus. I remember we were at a youth camp out up at Gull Lake, and it was a Saturday night, and many of my friends, teenagers, we got right with the Lord. Asked Christ into our life. We're going to follow him. I remember the next morning going out and witnessing to the campground officials that were driving around checking on the rowdy teenagers and such, stopping him in his truck and said, do you know Jesus? He's made a difference in my life. You know, this excitement, it just so, Jesus, I want to give you everything. But it's kind of like checking on Google for a thing or two. Oh, Jesus, I want to give you everything, but I'll just check this for a moment. Check this. And my life gets distracted and full of other things. When Jesus comes into the temple of our lives, may there be room for prayer. He said, my Father's house, this house shall be called a house of prayer. I don't want my life crowded and full of other things so that there's no room for prayer. I don't mean just coming before God and asking him all the things that we need. And we do that because he's our source and he's our dad. He's our father. He loves for us to come and ask. He's invited us. But I don't want it to just be about that. I want it to be about worship, coming before him. Lord, I'm not here for anything other than just to be with you. And that's prayer, and prayer and worship and encountering God and hearing his voice and spending time with him. I want to make sure that things haven't crowded out the purpose of my life. That when Jesus comes in, there's room for prayer. Intercession, praying for people I love. Just, God, may there be room. Sometimes people think, well, you're a pastor. You must have lots of time to pray. Life crowds in on everything. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. Life crowds in. You have to make time. Sometimes it's clearing some things out of our lives so we can just say, I'm going to commune with you, God, all day long, but there's also going to be times when I will just be dedicated time away with you in prayer. The center of my life is an encounter with God. See, Jesus made a distinction between business and his Father's business. Our life isn't just to be about business. It's about to be about our Father's business. But not only did he make room for prayer. It was in verse 14. It says, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Not only did he make room for prayer, but he made room for people. He made room for, Mark, can you go to the next one? It's not working. He made room for people. And the people that came to him at this point were not those of commerce, they weren't those of greed, they weren't looking to make a profit. They were the lame and the blind, people who couldn't see and people who couldn't walk. They didn't come to offer sacrifice because it was their duty. They came because they were in need. Aren't you glad Jesus still invites people who are in need to come to him today? But I look at my life and I say, man, is there, with Jesus being the center of my life, is there room for people in need? I mean, maybe you're here this morning and there are lots of people in your life. You've got lots of friends or lots of acquaintances or everywhere you look, you're busy with people. So people at school, people at work, people you hang out with, you go out with a lot. Maybe you have a very active social life with lots of people. Or maybe you just have one or two people that you spend lots of time with. And those can be good and right, but I thought, I want to make sure that in the midst of all the people I am with, that I still have room for people who are in need. Jesus has a heart for those who are in need. Make no mistake, and I say this hopefully very clearly, as you draw near to God, he will have you draw near to people in need. Because he cares about people. So as we draw near to God and our relationship with him is close, It's not just about us and God. We will have all eternity. As you draw near to God, He has us draw near to people who are in need because He loves them. And we can have the opportunity to be an answer to their need. The Lord has need of it, so He takes some of our stuff, our resources, our insight, whatever it is, and gives it to others. We get to be a channel, a blessing that He uses. So Jesus, not only though did He make room for prayer, He made room for people. May we be like that. And as we watch this, there's just this phrase. I don't know how many words it is. We could count. Just this small little phrase tucked in there. And He healed them. And He healed them. Four words. And He healed them. And then it moves on. It's just this little. The lame and the blind came, and He healed them. He healed them. And it goes on in the narrative. And understand, I mean, what a moment. Can you imagine being there? The lame being brought into the temple. And how does that happen? With help. Right? Somebody's got to help. What about the blind? I don't think this is making fun of anyone. I don't, otherwise I wouldn't say it. But I wondered if they helped each other. I thought, people who can't see, they can walk. And people who can't walk, they can see. Wouldn't that be great if those in need were able to help each other? I don't know if that's the scary thing would be a blind person carrying you and giving them directions and all of that. But who knows how it unfolded, if it was other people or if it was one another. And the temple's been cleared out and there's room for people and we're going in, and they get in the temple and it just says simply, and He healed them. In that atmosphere of a priority of prayer and that welcoming atmosphere of inviting people with needs in, we see the power of God demonstrated. Without a lot of flash and dash, without a lot of pomp and ceremony, it's just this four words, and He healed them. Because that's what Jesus does. And I read somewhere, perhaps even there, or if you speak Spanish over there, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same Jesus then, who made room for prayer and made room for people, made room for the power of God, that same Jesus is in our lives today. And may we make room for prayer and encounter with God, and may we make room for people in need. And in that kind of atmosphere and that kind of purpose in our lives, may we see the power of the presence of God heal the lame and the blind and all those who are in need. The strength of this account is not that they came to the temple. The strength of the account is that Jesus was in the temple. That's what made the difference. In the temple, Jesus said, quoting from the Old Testament, that it shall be called a house of prayer, but it's a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations. No room for racism. There is only one culture, and it's the culture of the kingdom. And if we were to look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hands." Here we are, this triumphal entry. Fast forward to the book of Revelation, palm branches in their hands, crying out and saying with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our gods, from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, to our gods, who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." And when I think about the blind coming to Jesus, certainly there are those who can't physically see. And Jesus can still heal that today. But there are also people who can't see. Who can't see a way around the circumstance. Who can't see a way through the situation, a way out of the problem.
a way through the pain. There are no options, and there is a hopelessness that comes. I can't see through this.
And there are people who cannot walk that Jesus can still heal today. But there are also people who somehow don't have the ability to move forward. They live in a place of pain or darkness that they just can't walk out of. That they can't walk forward to a bright future, and they can't even walk backward to the place where there was pain or sorrow, where whatever tragedy or horror took place in their life. They can't even walk back to have that healed. They are just stuck and can't move. And Jesus can still heal and set people free who can't see a way through, or if they can see it, they don't have the strength to walk out in it. The power and the presence of God is still available today to set people free. And it's in the lives of His people. When we make room for prayer and when we make room for people, we will see the presence of God and the power of God released to bring broken people to wholeness, to bring captives and prisoners set free, because it's still the same Spirit of God that is anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. And it sets us free. But it's not about us. The answer wasn't that they came to the temple. The answer was that Jesus was in the temple. And it's not about us, how wonderful or smart or together we have it, or any answers that we might offer. It's that Jesus is in our lives. And He's the one that makes the difference. And so for both those who can't walk, those who can't see a way through, may we bring a touch of the presence and the power of God. The temple without the presence of Jesus is just a place. But the temple with the presence of Jesus is a place of transformation. It's a place of wholeness. It's a place of hope. It's a place of life. It's not just a building or a structure. Jesus makes the difference.